with all due respect. And remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
Here with Nick Wilson.
I am America's sports talk show host. Hear me roar.
Stan Norfleet here.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
No, it ain't.
Oh, bleep you. Get off my...
Bye, Gomez.
Bye, Gomez, right. To both of you.
Do I detect some kind of sarcasm here?
Never.
4:20 to go, third quarter, a running clock. Ball made ready for play. Dolphins hustle up to the line of scrimmage. They go quickly on sound. The Wildcat, Gaskins will score left side with little resistance from the Panthers.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Happy Panther Monday, or something approaching happy. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving weekend. That sound, courtesy of the Panthers Radio Network, was not one of one, but one of two direct snaps to Myles Gaskins, which led to points on the board, touchdowns in the end zones for the Miami Dolphins as they kicked the royal crap out of the Queen City's finest, the Carolina Panthers, 33-10 in Miami yesterday. We've got Willie P. He's going to be joining us, bringing glad tidings in about 40 minutes. We've got Ross Tucker, CBS Sports analyst, also of the Ross Tucker Football Pod. He's going to be joining us at noon. But Stan Norfleet, I absolutely, absolutely feel like the members of the Spartan Army, as they're seeing in the movie 300, the arrows fly from the 5,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 soldiers.
The Persian army.
The Persian army. That's the way I feel about looking down this show. I see the arrows in the air, and I think to myself, this bleep again. It doesn't matter what happened. I would love nothing more than to do 4 hours of X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's, knock this bleep out of the park. But I can't. Because the same reason why you lost yesterday is the same reason you've lost 7 of your last 9 games. And it is not a pretty picture for the Carolina Panthers.
First of all, good morning, Mr. Wilson. Itty bitty fitty. Flounder in the building. What's going on, Metrolina? Hope everybody enjoyed their holiday weekend. Back at it. Love to be here. All right. Now that we get that out of the way. Okay, Nick. We did the post-game show yesterday.
That's a fact. That is a fact that we can state here to lead off the show.
All right. That was a bit much.
Well, I just wanted people to know. We've started with facts on this show.
All right. So the post-game show is very different from how we approach this, right? We've got more room for stuff to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The observation from the game yesterday is very easy. Matt Rhule said as much. Like, this is a universal loss. There's enough blame to go around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The things that have been an issue that showed up yesterday afternoon have been an issue all season.
Mm-hmm.
None of these things have been consistently rectified. And there are some people that deserve more criticism, blame, be held more accountable than others. Today's going to come down to Big Trailer. Where do you want to go first? Where do you want to focus in? And then we'll work our way. We got 4 hours to do this. It is a Panther Monday.
I think this is the problematic thing. I don't want to talk about them. Like, I understand. Like, the expectation today is that you and I come out, and we're the Scorched Earth show, right? Whereas there are a lot of people, and this is not an exclusive to this station thing, a lot of people like to do the, you know what, everything's coming up Panthers conversation. Whereas you and
it's easy to play Homer.
Yes, it is easy. And by the way, there's good money in playing the Homer.
Yeah, so, I'd like to see some of that.
So kudos to anybody making profit off being a Homer today.
Yeah.
Good job out of you. I can't do it. All right? I couldn't do it with Sam Darnold when they went Sam or bust. I couldn't do it when they went with PJ as PJ or bust as the backup. And we have tried to hold Matt Rhule accountable this entire time. But you know what? Bleep it. I do have something to say. I was going to say that I just don't feel like yelling about this team anymore, but that is a blatant lie. Because there is something, quite frankly, on a Monday morning that's just pissing me the hell off.
You've been on this since yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, and you know what? It irritated me yesterday, and it makes me even more irritated today. Because there is a fundamental misunderstanding from Matt Rhule about what his job is. Matt Rhule seems to think that all anybody wants in this town is their pound of flesh. that all anybody wants is to, we're gonna pin this person to the wall and say, hey, there's the bad guy. And you know how I know? Because Matt Rhule was asked about looking at why they lost their seventh game in 9 tries after starting the season 3-0. Matt Rhule was asked about accountability. Matt Rhule was asked about his culture. Here was one of his answers from yesterday.
I don't even know if I was defended. I said we had to run the ball more. I think I've always looked at it very, like, even keel. Like, I'm just not going to be super inflammatory like everyone wants me to be. Like, it's this. It's like, was the play calling good? I will go back and watch the tape and look. You know, we went in with a plan. You know, every time you run the ball on first down, if you get a penalty, I mean, I put that on, just want to say, I put the penalties on the coaches too, right? Like we as coaches, that's our responsibility, it's our job. It's also the men in that locker room's job. And so if everyone has a shared responsibility, you have a chance. But, you know, Joe called the game, Phil called the game, you know, kind of the way we planned on doing it. Chase called the game. You know, we faked the punt. We had a punt blocked, right? I mean, it's like we have to be better in a lot of different areas. So I just don't know if now we're sitting right here is the right time to be responding to all that. That's why I said I'd look at it and talk to you guys tomorrow.
He literally just started saying things that happened in the game. Well, there was a punt, and then we punted it, and then we didn't punt it, and then it was blocked.
There were penalties.
And then there were penalties, and then there were other plays where there weren't penalties. The thing that really cheesed me off about this comment. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm saying cheesed off. I'm a white guy that's cheesed off on a Panther Monday.
I assure you the culture does not refer to cheese.
But yet. Go ahead. Yet. They didn't say chach and now they do.
Nobody says
because
chach.
Of Big Daddy.
Go ahead.
Because of the Big Dundada. All right. Matt Rhule coming out here and saying, I'm not going to be super inflammatory like everybody wants me to be. Matt, nobody cares. Nobody cares. If you went out and said, Joe Brady is the biggest slappy that ever slapped, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. What people want is the answers. And all Matt Rhule can do is say, it's on the players. It's on the coaches. And then when pushed on that, well, guys, I'm not going to throw people under the bus. Can you start? Can you just here's the thing. Nobody wants their pound of flesh. They just want answers and solutions.
No, yeah, there you go. That's the word.
And this solutions is the same is the thing. Word. Matt Rhule has been doing the same thing of just, guys, I'm just the victim here. All right, I'm just as gosh darn, you know, Ned Flanders as anybody else is about this. Then I don't need Matt Rhule to go scorched earth. Fix something. You're getting $63 million. Just squint like Robert De Niro on the sidelines. You talking to me? You talking to me? I didn't call that play. Like, for the love of God, I don't need Matt Rhule to burn anything down. And this idea, you know what it is? It is this weird defensiveness that Matt Rhule has when questioned or pushed on anything that is completely unearned. If you want to come out and say nothing, cool. Bill Belichick literally says nothing. But he's got six rings in the NFL to fall back on. Look at any other coach who says nothing, who gives no answers, no insight, no fixes, no solutions. They've won something. Did I miss the national championship at Baylor? Did I miss him having Temple in the national title game? Matt Rhule did good things in college, not incendiary, not great things in college, and he's done literally nothing in the NFL. And anytime somebody pushes him for some semblance of an answer, it's, well, players got to play and coaches got to coach, and why is anybody asking me this? Because you're getting $63 million to fix it.
And it's because he has $63 million on paper that he knows what market he's in. He knows this isn't Chicago or Detroit, even New York. He knows he can get away with this. That's the comfortability. The security is the term we use in the industry about having not just a deal like that, but what the deal suggests. He feels protected. We just got through having a conversation in the fishbowl, all of us. And there's a reason why dudes on Saturday want to get to Sunday. It's so you can get some of this protection. Now, I think who you really should be mad at is not necessarily Matt Rhule. Why I understand why you should be mad at Matt Rhule. Somebody hired Matt Rhule when they didn't have to. There were other options. I'll come back to that. Here's why I'm upset, bro. I compare Matt Rhule to people that have some similar circumstances. I don't compare him to Belichick. I don't compare him to John Harbaugh in Baltimore, who we watched last night. Sorry about that. I don't compare him to those dudes. Okay, he lost to Mike McCarthy in Dallas in McCarthy's second year. McCarthy was out of the league 2 years ago. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, first year. I won't get Mike Zimmer. There's Joe Judge in New York. A slappy. We took an L. New England brought in, even though it's Belichick, a rookie quarterback. Oh, by the way, that we could have had. There's Ron Rivera in Washington. He's in his second year. He came in here with Taylor Heineke, and we got beat. And then yesterday was Tua Tagovailoa, and in his third year, what's my coach down there?
That's Brian Flores.
Brian Flores. I'm not even going to get to last year when Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos came in here with Drew Locke. I'm not even going to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line I come back to you is this. Matt Rhule is 10-18 as a head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And I can't tell you still where he gives us the advantage going into a given Sunday. And he used this quote. I told you about this earlier. He says, and I paraphrase, I said it was a quote, but I'm going to paraphrase. We panicked a little bit yesterday. Matt, you ran the ball four times. Down two scores, down 11 points, getting the ball to restart the to receive the ball to start the third quarter. Matt Rhule, you ran the ball. You didn't run Christian McCaffrey a single time. We'll get to him later in the second half because he was unavailable. You didn't run Cam Newton another time in the second half. You gave two runs to Abdullah, one to Chuba Hubbard, and then you had the fake punt. Those were your four rushes. You were down 11 points. I come back to you and say, at what point do we start asking the big fella, Big Tep, you sure you got the right guy?
So this is not about losing, right? Nobody likes to have to come out on a Panther Monday, or in Cleveland it's a Browns Monday, or in Buffalo it's a Bills Monday. We get real creative in sports talk media with how we label Mondays after an NFL game. Any market is used to talking about losing at any given point. This is about not being competitive. That's what makes me mad. If this was last year,
and Rhule said that about last year,
and you were still losing 7-point games or 3-point games, I don't know that I would be as triggered as Matt Rhule saying, I'm not going to be as super inflammatory as everybody wants me to be. But I looked at this last year, in Matt Rhule's first year in the NFL, they had 3 10-point or more losses in his first 16 games of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any for the first 6 weeks of this season. In the last 6 weeks, they have 3 10-point losses or more. So the football's actively getting worse. And for a minute, we could say, man, Sam Darnold really sucks. Sam Darnold is actively holding you back from winning games. But as Sam Darnold continued to regress, so did the offensive line, so did the defense, so did the penalties and the
third down defense, red zone offense,
all of it.
Special teams showed up again yesterday, which I thought was put to bed.
This frustration is not about losing. It's about not being competitive.
See, to me, it's always about losing. It's always about, that's just me. I know that we kind of different. I don't want to get this sidetracked, but to me, it's about this city, this organization is accustomed to winning football of recent. Why aren't we playing winning football when I compare you to your peers that have situations, some of them that are a lot worse than this, and the football looks better?
704-570-9610. We are going to talk on Panther Monday about this Panthers loss, the latest loss by 10 or more points, a 23-point bleep kicking. It could have been 30 points. It could have been 40 points. Miami just was like, you know, we're going to run the ball in the fourth quarter if you guys want to try and make this close. You guys want to try and make this a more competitive game? We can make this happen. And the Panthers are like, nah, we like losing by 23 points. Willie P. Wilpologic joins us. 10:40 to talk about this bleep show. We've got Ross Tucker to comment on his thoughts on the Panthers and the rest of the stories around the NFL. But we'll throw this out here because this is something we're going to have to explore. Why have the Panthers lost 7 of their last 9 games? And I'm going to tell you guys the precise moment that I knew the Carolina Panthers had no chance of winning that game yesterday. That's next on Sports Radio FNZ.
You know, Hassan Reddick had 2 15-yard personal fouls, right? I mean, that can't happen. So that's 30 yards of penalties right there. I think we had 7. That's 2 of them. False start. Can't have that, right? I mean, we had a hold go against us, which was tough. Guys were playing hard, you know, but I think we all know yesterday wasn't our best day up front. You know, sometimes when we get these holds up front on the offensive line, that's as indicative of just, you know, just kind of trying to battle up front and where we're at. So, you know, the focus penalties, we're going to keep trying to eliminate. But, you know, I think it's a little deeper at this point than running to a sign. It's decisions that guys are making.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Sorry, that was Panthers head coach Matt Rhule talking about the penalties yesterday with the Carolina Panthers and how it's a little bit more than running to a DBO sign, which I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear
that footballing about touching a sign.
Or
a fancy slogan.
I'm glad we got here today. I'm glad that it took us.
Who knew?
7 of 9 losses.
Who knew?
I'm glad it took us to the bye week, week 13, to figure out that a sign that says "don't beat ourselves" isn't going to make us not beat ourselves. Right?
I don't think the rest of the league got the memo that you're supposed to respect the Panther.
I don't know Matt Rhule circulated it internally. And that actually is, when hearing Matt Rhule talk, because that was from Matt Rhule's presser today, because Matt Rhule got in for his presser, and that was a 9 a.m. presser today, and that man is gone, all right? He's going to Fiji,
he's definitely leaving the country.
He's taking the DBO sign to France, he's doing something.
Good call, south of France.
As they disperse for the week here.
By the way, players are out. Players won't even be required to be around other than treatment if you need to get that done till next Monday. So dudes are gone.
That's good. That's good. Just take it, you know, get a little tryptophan in your system if you didn't get it, if you didn't get all the Thanksgiving turkey in or the sides, the stuffing, whatever. Whatever you build your plate around is okay. I knew this game was over. And I've seen some people pointing to the way the Panthers' offense came out in the first half, in the second half, which is they basically went 3 and out. They did a fake punt, which got them the conversion, and then punted 4 plays later. That's not when I knew the game was over. They were still only down 11 points at that point.
When?
I just said it. At the start of the second half.
The 7-play drive, they punted. Yeah. They're down 11.
That's not.
But then Miami got the ball and scored.
Yeah, this is where I'm going. Because I knew this game was over. Hassan Reddick's taunting penalty. The Panthers had actually looked like they were about to stop the Miami Dolphins after the Austin Jackson's holding penalty.
It would have been 3rd and 14.
Mm-hmm. And instead, down 11, Hassan Reddick got a taunting penalty.
Second taunting penalty on the Panthers defense or the Panthers squad. Ian Thomas had one in frustration. Is that the New England game?
Mm-hmm. When Hassan Reddick, down 11, with a smidge of positive momentum, when he decided that was the moment that's where he had to stand his ground and talk back to Miami, despite being down 11. And again, not in the best way of play. The defense had not played their best game to that point either. That's when I knew, all right, things are about to get ugly. And by the way, as you mentioned, they scored about 4 or 5 plays later.
So here's the part that was also tough. It's 2nd and 18 at the Carolina 37. The play you're talking about, it was a 4-yard gain penalty on Reddick, enforced at the Carolina 33, moves the ball inside the red area. The penalty led to at least a field goal. So now it's 1st and 10 at the 18, and you're right, 4 plays later, that's where we get the Wildcat, Miles Gaskin gets in. But can I speak about that Wildcat? And I know we'll get back to that drive.
Uh-huh.
Look at the body language. The body language for the team all day, but specifically on that drive. That was a, 13-play drive. Miami had the ball. It's 13 plays. They went 80 yards. Miami had the ball for 7 minutes, 24 seconds. By the time we get down there, they were outflanked in the formation. Excuse me. The defense act like they had never seen, were unaware that Miami could even line up like that. Well, how about this? Hey, guys that have C's on your jersey, when you get down in the red area and a team gives you a formation that may appear to be exotic, has your coach, has your coordinator, Phil Snow, giving you some autonomy to call timeout because we don't want to surrender an easy bleeping touchdown? I just didn't understand that.
If after that score, where there was about 4 minutes left in the third quarter, if you had gone to everybody on the Carolina team and said, we can just forfeit now. The game's going to be over an hour and a half earlier.
Yeah, they were ready to go.
And we can just go hit the bye week early.
They're ready to go.
To a man, they would have tapped out. So that was for the Hassan Reddick taunting penalty. And I'm not going to hammer Hassan on it because he's been their best defender. I can't
him and Shaq.
It was like the Dante Jackson penalty against Washington. People want to make a big deal out of it. It's like, that's the one critical mistake I've seen him make. That's the same thing with Hassan. This is more about every slappy that they've had. Like Matt Rhule yesterday, coming out after the game saying, talking about the injury to Michael Jordan, saying, well, you know, he got the holding penalty, and then basically surmising it's because he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Well, what about the three penalties he had the week before? Maybe,
that's a fair point.
I absolutely am here to stand and make apologies for Hassan Reddick. Dante Jackson, I'll make apologies for Dante Jackson. Hell, Cam Newton, who had maybe his worst game as a Panther, I'll make apologies for Cam Newton. I'm not apologizing for Michael the Brand Jordan. What in the freak are we doing?
So a couple things before I get off of this. You know when I knew the game was over?
When?
13 plays. Okay, they go up 27-10. All right. Carolina Panthers come right back, 3 and out. They got negative 24 yards on that drive. they wasted a whopping minute 39 is what the defense, that's the rest your defense got back. And then Tua Tagovailoa got back on the field and with another 10 plays, 19 yards, milked another 6.5 minutes off the clock, and then they put up another score to go up 20. First two drives defensively, which is supposed to be where you hang your hat. After the defense that just got called out for giving up 190 yards rushing the previous week. You're calling call, they're supposed to be the defense, and they got 23 plays and essentially a quarter taken away from them and 10 points put up, and they were done for the day. Offensive line, because you just gave Michael Jordan what he deserved. Here's what's interesting. It's the same offensive line that we rolled out for Arizona that didn't give up a sack. That allowed, what did we rush for versus Arizona? The rushing numbers were skewed heavily in the Panthers' favor. It was the same old line. The offensive line had surrendered just 2 sacks the previous 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then they got out there against Miami, who Matt Rhule told us we knew they were going to blitz. I could keep going. Go ahead.
I just think we've gotten to this point where, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, trying to figure out, like, how much do we actually talk about the game in the postgame show and how much do we talk about the state of the Panthers? And the reality is, they're one and the same. Because, you know, yesterday, you lost in all three phases. 2 weeks ago, you lost because the defense didn't play well enough. 2 weeks before that, Sam Darnold gave you literally no chance to win in his final game as a Panther this season against New England. It has been a different thing that has failed you on any given week, but yet it's the same thing that it has been poor leadership, not wanting to play, getting punched in the mouth and running from it. It's been
second half adjustments.
It's been beating yourself consistently. Agreed. And for Matt, just to not have any real, hey, this is what's going on and here's how we're going to fix it. And by the way, he doesn't have to say, Nick and Stan, I'm going to bench Michael Jordan, who is a slappy, even though he's the brand. I'm going to demote Joe Brady. He doesn't have to say this, but we should see his decisions making a difference on the field. And that's where this is a real question that I think we have to ask ourselves here. Because I don't like the answer. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, and I don't want to say the answer. But the real question we're asking today is, why have the Panthers lost 7 of their last 9 games? Because every single thing, and we talked about this yesterday, right? I just wanted to enjoy the doghouse. I just wanted to enjoy the great job that those folks did. And by the way, when I say those folks, I mean you, the listening audience. You guys killed it again. So thank you for your partnership. Thank you for what you guys made possible at the doghouse and in the 19th annual Street Turkeys.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
I just wanted to vibe on Thanksgiving food conversation. But we have Hassan Reddick talking about leadership issues, and we've got Matt Rhule saying, you know what, if the defense would just listen to Phil Snow, hey, Matt, you're telling on yourself. Say less. Because the reality is why they've lost 7 of 9 games is Matt Rhule and his coaching staff cannot lead their way out of a paper bag. I'm trying not to do the thing that I don't want to do because firing coaches isn't always the right decision. But at some point, if Matt Rhule doesn't have a fix and you continue to self-inflict every injury and you go from 3-0 to now 5-7, at some point, I just got to say what it is. And the problem is the coaching staff. Whether the biggest problem is Matt Rhule, I have no idea. But leadership and coaching is the biggest issue with this team right now.
I pointed this out Wednesday leading up to this game. Matt Rhule went 3-2 with his Panthers to open the season last year. Then they lost 5 in a row. They ended up winning 2 out of 6. Oh, they ended up going 2-6. He started out 3-0 this year, lost 4 in a row. He's now 2-4 and has lost 7 of 9. Nick, the obvious answer here is, and listen to what I'm saying, because there are some people that will misconstrue what I'm getting ready to say here, Nick. I know you won't because you get me. There's a difference in saying a guy can't coach and the players are not responding.
Mm-hmm.
The players, where was it at? I heard Brian Burns quoted yesterday, post-game. It's gotten away from us a little bit, the process that is. It's not the same. P.J. Walker, sacked 4 times yesterday. He said, yeah, there just wasn't any energy on the sideline. The mood was flat.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your leadership has to come in. These guys are ill-prepared week in and week out. Now, Matt Rhule would push back, and he should to some degree. Matt Rhule should say, Stan, when we play complimentary football, you get the Arizona game. You get the Saints game. And I would tell Matt Rhule, look who was and was not on the field in both those games.
I mean, I would tell Matt Rhule, because Matt Rhule made it a point yesterday to say that he's an even-keel guy. Right now, I'm not going to be super inflammatory like you want me to be.
I'm not angry or upset more than I usually am.
And here's the problem. If that was really true, then we would see a team that never gets too high or too low. All this entire season has been about are peaks and valleys. Mm. It's been the Dallas loss followed by the Stephon Gilmore trade. It's been Sam Darnold absolutely unequivocally bleeps the bed and leaves you realizing that he is the slappy that certain people said he was coming into this season. And then they signed Cam Newton. It was Arizona, and then it was Washington. And Miami.
Yeah.
Like, if you really were, and that's the reason why Matt got hired. That's why everybody told us Matt Rhule was going to be a great NFL coach, is there's no difference between winning and losing. Well, then why is this team the most erratic team we've seen? And more erratic than last year as well, year one.
Before, we talked about this off air. Last year, earlier this year, everybody, Matt Rhule, he's who you want. Matt Rhule, bell of the ball. I can't find anybody in the national NFL media that will publicly continue to state that Matt Rhule is the dude. There's a difference in not being able to coach and the guys not responding.
When did the Panthers lose that game on Sunday? And why have the Panthers lost 7 of their last 9 games? We'll ask that of Willie P., WFNZ personality and reporter, next on Sports Radio FNZ.
Miami shows a bunch of pressure. 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. Big rush. And they got it. Blocked it. A blocked punt. Dolphins pick it up at the 1, pushing towards the goal line. They'll score a touchdown.
He backed his way over the goal line into the end zone for the score.
The low T play of the game. Good God. Sports Radio FNC. That sound was the first oopsie of many yesterday from the Carolina Panthers. The punt block for a touchdown. You don't see that every Sunday, Stan.
No, but I've seen that before this year, and it was misreported that the Panthers hadn't had a punt block yet. You know I'm weird. I pay attention to special teams. there was a punt block. Now, it was Joseph Charlton in the Philly game.
I'd also like to point out, we're getting back to the point where we're going to have to remove the word special from special teams. They're just teams. Once again, we do have to get into a great weekend in college football.
Was a really good week.
For a myriad of reasons, it was great. The coaching stuff we'll get to later in the show, but Rivalry Week lived up to its reputation this week. But to go ahead and talk about the state of the Carolina Panthers, we talk with them every single Panther Monday after a Panther game. He is live in studio with us. He is Will Pelagic. Willie, what's up, buddy?
I wish I could say it was a state of anything other than disrepair, but it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was very good. Very good.
Parents good?
Parents are very good. Yeah. Fiance's good. We had a very, very fun time.
Mm-hmm.
It was ruined on Sunday, but...
I was trying to avoid as long as I possibly could talking about this game. So I've said it was the Hassan Reddick penalty when I knew that game was over, despite the fact that at the culmination of that penalty, they were still only down by 11 points. Stan, what did you say? When did you say you knew the game was over?
Oh, when they allowed a damn Wildcat touchdown.
The first or the second one?
So no, that would have been the first one.
Okay.
So coming out of the second half, they're down 11. They get the ball, punt. 13-play drive, Dolphins score. 3-and-out for the Panthers, 10-play drive, field goal, ball game.
The second direct snap felt like a big middle finger to me personally. Willie, when did you know this game was over yesterday?
You know, it really wasn't even a scoring play. It was any one of those Jalen Waddle explosive plays that they give up on defense. And I really feel like, you know, those are the kinds of things that when this defense is playing well, they don't give up and they don't surrender. And yet it's 2 weeks in a row now where we see, you know, Dante Jackson unable to cover a wide receiver. We see them unable to get pressure. And also from an offensive standpoint, their inability to stay on the field. I feel like so many times we've seen the same formula play out. And you know, listening to Matt Rhule speak this morning and editing the sound, you know,
when you're
typing in and you have something that's already kind of auto-completing, I'm typing in a lot of the same things over and over again, like can't get off the field on third down, can't sustain drives, can't get the running game going.
Gotta
we thought we were
going to
run it, and then we didn't run it more. It's the same crap week after week, regardless of who's in there.
For those of us that are critical, some on the text line asking question. Matt Rhule and his staff, at what point for you, Willie, will you determine they are cut out for this or they are not?
I don't know if it's here yet, but it's coming. And that's the part of it that I feel like is scary because, Stan, you know this better than anybody. If your guys aren't in the position to win, it doesn't matter who you put out there. Like a lot of people who are getting on Cam Newton, this is not Cam Newton's fault. This is not even the offensive line's fault. The offensive line is just not expected to do this. These guys weren't expected to be this personnel this time of the season. They're down as many offensive linemen as they have, but the problem is the guys who they put in there to be the offensive linemen weren't good either. So, like, that's the part of it that I feel like is really just maddening, is that these are the guys that this coaching staff wanted in there, and they're not executing. They've lost 7 of 9.
Willie P., WFNC personality and reporter, joining Nick and Stan here live in person. It's different. It hits different when you're here in person.
So do you, by the way.
I'm down 100 pounds, so I definitely hit differently now.
We need to get back on those scales, big fella.
It's 99 pounds.
Okay,
it's
the
99
truth.
Pounds after Thanksgiving. Give me a couple days back on the dial. It'll be down below 100 again.
Are you saying you, like Matt Rhule, are not doing your job?
No.
That was going to sound way different.
Yeah, I wouldn't lead with.
I was going to go somewhere.
The DBO sign in the Wilson household means something different. With that being said, Willie.
I'm glad I caught that.
You mentioned the 7 of 9 games that they've lost. If I had to give me one reason, give me the biggest reason, because there's a lot of reasons why they've lost 7 of 9 games. What is the biggest reason that they've lost 7 of 9?
They've not gotten all three phases of the game to play well in the same game. Like, we've seen games where the defense has played out and the offense has been okay. That was the Arizona game. The offense was good enough to win the ball game with as great as they played on defense. But in the Atlanta game, the defense didn't play great, but the offense played spectacular. They ran the football as much as they did in that contest. And yet, in the rest of these contests, you've had bad offense and good defense, or okay offense and so-so defense. I mean, they have not had a complete game where all three phases have played well. They've had games where they've blown it on special teams, like this past week. Stan mentioned the punt block earlier in the season against Minnesota. I mean, that's there are so many teams, so many games this season where you've looked at and say, oh, well, if this phase could have performed better, they would have won the game. Or, oh, if this phase didn't do this, they would have won better. It's all three phases have not played one complete football game this year, maybe since the Jet game, week one, honestly. And that's the problem with this team right now, is that you have not had one phase of football that hasn't let this team down on a week-in, week-out basis.
We're going to get to this. Christian McCaffrey has played in 10 games the past 2 years. Didn't finish the game against Houston. Didn't finish the game, obviously, versus Miami. So didn't play at all in the second half, somewhere in the middle of the second quarter. So we're 3-5 in the Matt Rhule era in games Christian McCaffrey plays. I saw some people being very poignant about some thoughts on CMC. Where you at on CMC in this injury?
It's difficult for me, Stan, because he is your best offensive playmaker when healthy. The problem is he hasn't been healthy for the balance of this year or the balance of last year. And it's hard to quantify what that means if he's not 100. And that's the part of it that I feel like is most frustrating, is because when he's not going, it doesn't seem like this offense has a backup plan. And the fact that they were so reliant on this singular player who has not shown a reliability to be on the field is probably the most disconcerting thing about this offense, because what was the one thing that we talked about going into the season is they needed improvement at skill positions. And we thought they had made those improvements with drafting Terrace Marshall and fortifying Robbie Anderson and getting a couple of tight ends in here like Tommy Tremble, et cetera, and Dan Arnold. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, can Christian McCaffrey play effectively and be healthy on the field? And when he's not that, this offense has suffered, and even when he has been healthy, they've suffered. So that's the part of it that I feel is most galling about this offense, is that it's so CMC-reliant, and even when that is something you can count on, it hasn't been there.
Nick and Stan with Willie P here on a Panther Monday, breaking down whatever the hell we call that on Sunday against Miami and the Panthers' latest loss, 7-9 games. This one, their third. I'm going to say that again. Their third 10-point or more loss in the last 6 weeks. That's every other week they're getting blown out here. But news from the NFL before we get back to Willie. Adam Schefter reporting Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy has tested positive for COVID. And the follow-up tweet on that is that there are up to 8 positives in Dallas, details still rolling in. So that is the latest from around the NFL.
Amari Cooper has been out with COVID. Oh, my God.
So that is the latest from the NFL, and that is the latest from Big D. I do want to do this, because today is absolutely, everyone should get called to the carpet today. And we have done that through the first 50 minutes of the show. But I think something everybody on this show has to do before we leave this show today, and I'm going to encourage the text line to do the same thing. It doesn't have to be the fix. Willie, give me a fix for Carolina. One place to start. One thing that they can do today that will help them better their chances of going 1-0.
If Brady Christensen is not starting somewhere on this offensive line and Dennis Daly is not, I'm probably going to lose my stuff. Because he's played well enough, at least in my opinion, to warrant a position to be in there. And if he hasn't, then you don't have a real justification to be doing anything out there on the offensive line else other than that, because you drafted this guy to play. Like, he's in the third round. He should be playing by this point of the season. He should not be your swing tackle. If you drafted a guy in the third round and he's your swing tackle by the end of the year, that's a bad job of evaluation.
If this was the 1987 Washington football team's offensive line, if this was the Hogs, maybe I wouldn't be so upset about Brady Christensen. They're not. One, every time the kid gets in the game, he plays really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Two,
he's had some moments, but I understand overall, yes, he's played well.
The guys that they've started in place of him and continue to play are Dennis Daly, Trent Scott, and Michael Jordan. At some point, it feels like a middle finger that you're not putting Brady Christensen in there.
I'm wondering what he did wrong. Like, what did he do to
did
offend
he
the,
not
fo-
respect
the coaching
the Panther?
Staff? Apparently not.
Let's talk about two other guys that happen to be young players. You mentioned one, Terrace Marshall Jr. Okay, didn't just not start.
Inactive.
Healthy scratch. Derrick Brown, not only did he not start, he got in somewhere in that first series. I think it was five plays. He got in on the sixth play. What's going on? Is that what Matt Rhule's way of talking to some young guys about expectation? What do you read about that personnel-wise?
So Matt spoke to both of those things this morning. He talked about Marshall's his lack of inclusion in the game day roster. They wanted to bring up Matt Cole because they felt like he was a better fit for them on special teams than Gunner.
Matt Cole, contribution on special teams.
Yes.
Meant more to Matt Rhule's game plan than a second-round wide receiver.
And that's especially jarring. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
I don't think people understand. This doesn't happen on other NFL rosters.
Wait. So you're out on Matt Cole? Cool. Okay.
A second-round wide receiver from LSU that had a first-round grade was inactive on game day so that a Gunner could run down four times?
Yeah.
Well, who the hell does that?
Matt Cole played at Bemidji State, I think.
And Brown, I feel like that was more of a message send, and that was something that Matt Rhule spoke about.
What, man?
What's that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're doing your thing. That was news to me. I hadn't heard today.
Yeah, that was something he said this morning.
Oh, guys, I was actually really wrong. Matt Cole played at McKendree.
Oh, wow.
So he wasn't a second-round wide receiver.
No.
That's 6'3", 230 pounds.
I've done basketball games at McKendree.
Here's the thing. I just found out McKendree was a thing.
Derrick Brown, real quick, finish up your thought on Derrick Brown.
It was a message sent. He feels like he got the message and played well. Though, again, I don't know why you're having to send a message to a guy who was your number 7 overall pick a year ago.
Follow this man on Twitter, at Willie P. Style.
It was 7, right? Not 6?
What's that?
6 or 7? Where was Derrick Brown taken last year? 7?
Oh, that was 7. Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Willie, we appreciate you, buddy. Keep on keeping on.
I thought you wanted to say keep pounding.
No.
That's not a thing this week?
No, they have to start pounding before they can keep pounding.
They're only a half game back. There is hope.
The pounding process has stopped.
No.
And they need to start pounding.
Out of a wild card spot.
Stop selling a fight.
They're
stop
a half
selling.
Game. That's
Willie,
it.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Love you guys.
Will Philogic joins us every Panther Monday here. But we are going to take a quick detour. After pounding on the Panthers, we got to get to Dave Clawson, who walked softly and carried Big Deke Energy this weekend on Sports Radio FNZ.